NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CBC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Liu Shijin.
And I'm Yang Shuang. Today is Monday, 9th of May, the 10th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news coming up next 30 minutes.
On May the 4th, a communicating meeting about paper umbrella themed Yu Jian Jiangnan was held in the number 48 teaching building.
We all know that the paper umbrellas come from the south of China and are kind of rare in Beijing.
On April 24th, Chinese President Xi Jinping visited several low-income households in Jingzhai County, Anhui.
I hope the local government can implement the central government's poverty alleviation policies and serve the people with devotion.
Salah Abdeslam has been extradited from Belgium to France.
There is a purely symbolic meaning of this extradition, because for sure it will be very important for the family members of the victim of Paris attacks.
And comment on the way to the C event.
On April 12, a 21-year-old student was died of tumors. His name is Wei Zexi. Wei Zexi was a college student majoring in computer in Xi'an Electronic Technology University.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening, welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On May the 4th, a communicating meeting about paper umbrella themed Yu Jian Jiangnan was held in the number 48 teaching building. This activity was organized by the association called Fei Yi Qingnian and the Students Association Union of CUC. It provided the students with the chance to appreciate and learn something about the paper umbrella under the guidance of the teacher Jia Shiqiang. Our correspondent Yang Shuang was there.
As an association closely related to the intangible cultural heritage, why do you choose the paper umbrella as the theme this time?
We all know that the paper umbrellas come from the south of China and are kind of rare in Beijing. As an association aimed at inheriting traditional culture, we've been focusing on the intangible cultural heritage in Beijing for many years. This time, we want to try something new. And the paper umbrellas seem to be a good choice. What's more, for many of us, the only thing we know about the paper umbrella maybe the poem called Yu Xiang, and we want to expose students to more culture about the paper umbrella by holding this activity.
After taking part in this activity, students seem to have achieved a lot. So what do they think of it?
I think this activity is quite meaningful to me. First, I have always been interested in Chinese traditional culture, and that's why I came here today too. Second, I have always learned a lot about the history and development of the paper umbrella by listening to the teacher. What's more, I'm so lucky to get an umbrella. I love it so much. It's really a great activity.
During this sharing meeting, the teacher also talked about the problem of commercialization in the development of the paper umbrella today, which is quite thought-provoking.
When it comes to the development of our traditional culture, there need to be products to serve as carriers, and as businessmen, we have to commercialize these products to earn money to meet our needs of survival. Commercialization is not always a bad thing. I mean, if the products become more popular in the market, more people will get to know about the culture behind them, and the handicrafts will not go dying easily as well.
Okay, that's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Yang Shuang. Students must have achieved a lot by taking part in this activity, for not only did they get to enjoy the beauty of the paper umbrella, but they were also exposed to one of China's ancient handcrafts. hope there will be more such meaningful activities on campus.
A forum for broadcasting and anchoring school undergraduate was held in CUC Library's Circular Reporting Hall. Alumni includes Yu Feng, Yang Bo, and so on exchanged their experiences with the students. Our correspondent Liu Qi was there.
Now I'm on the spot of the reporting hall. Let's hear what the alumni say about broadcasting and anchoring major. The communicating meeting for broadcasting and anchoring school has caught much attention among the fellow students. What's the significance of holding this meeting?
There's no denying that basic training of the great importance for broadcasting and anchoring major. Holding this meeting aims to push students to strengthen their basic skills. If students do not practice enough, they cannot adapt to the cruel competition in the future. Only with fabulous basic skill can audience comfortably understand the news you read.
As basic training is of great importance, do you have any suggestion about improving students' basic skill?
As a matter of fact, there is no shortcut to the success. Diligence is the only path to the success. Secondly, form a good habit of speaking standard Mandarin in daily life. Moreover, while broadcasting, stay focused on the paper, adjust good intention condition, don't be too nervous.
After entering this communication meeting, what have you learned?
Firstly, it raised my awareness of the basic skills. Secondly, what are the senior people taught us today is useful and practical. They are really good models for me to follow. I want to be as good as them.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Liu Qi. As one of the featured activities during the May 4th Youth Day, the meeting provided students an opportunity to examine themselves, motivating them in terms of major study.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. On April 24th, Chinese President Xi Jinping visited several low-income households in Jingzhai County, Anhui. He told the families that the government is trying to keep its promise to eliminate poverty by 2020.
I hope the local government can implement the central government's poverty alleviation policies and serve the people with devotion so as to boost economic development in the old revolutionary base areas.
The visit was part of Xi's inspection tour in Anhui from April 24th to 27th. Jinyang County was located in a mountainous area in Anhui, which was one of the birthplaces of Chinese Revolution. Xi visited here to see how the poverty alleviation policy of central government are conducted. And during his visit, Xi also reviewed the provincial government work report. He urged the local authorities to intensify their supply-side structural reform to tackle the downward pressure on the economy.
On April the 27th, the Chinese Navy's South China Sea Fleet conducted a landing drill. For the commander of the fleet, Yang Fei, the terrain of the island made the mission more challenging than previous ones.
The mission is very complicated this time. There's no depth in the landing shore, so the fleet risks crashing to the shore if the speed is too high and may be severely affected by the wind at a low speed. We have to continuously switch helm rudder and rotate speed difference to ensure a punctual landing.
The target of the drill is to strengthen the fleet's landing combat capability. The objective is to capture the island. The drill involved a landing brigade, Marine Corps, amphibious forces and Navy helicopter units. The drill was completed successfully, which has laid a solid foundation for further enhancement of the competitiveness of the entire troop, according to Chen Jianyi with South China Sea Fleet.
Okay, let's look at the international news. One of the chief suspects from November's Paris terror attacks, Salah Abdeslam, has been extradited from Belgium to France. The series of bomb and gun assaults claimed 130 people's lives in Paris last November. Salah Abdeslam, who was seen as the suspect of the attack, was arrested in Brussels and on March 18th after 4 months on the run.
There is a purely symbolic meaning of this extradition, because for sure it will be very important for the family members of the victim of Paris attacks.
He has been transferred from a prison in Belgium to France to face terror charges just over a month after being caught in Brussels. Besides, many people believed that Brussels attacks on March 22nd was perpetrated by the same terror cell as the Paris attacks. Investigators believed the cell brought their attacks forward after Abdeslam's arrest.
Australia made the 20th anniversary of Port Arthur massacre on April 28th in Port Arthur. Former Australia Prime Minister John Howard attended the commemoration.
I was horrified at the scale of what had happened, absolutely horrified, and here was a 35 innocent men, women and children, Australians, others, had been murdered.
In 1996, Martin Bryant, armed with two guns, opened fire on dozens of unsuspecting tourists in Port Arthur. The massacre prompted the strictest gun laws of the nation, which included a ban on all semi-automatic rifles and tighter gun ownership controls. The government also received hundreds of thousands of firearms through a gun buyback program. According to authorities, gun-related deaths in Australia have dropped after the mass shooting in Port Arthur.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minute. On May the 4th, the Communist Youth League Commendation Conference was held in the 400 People's Hall. All league grand secretaries of each major participated. In the conference, all achievements were summarized and suggestions were made for further expansion of the Youth League.
On May the 6th, the singing competition in CUC, the Spring of the Communication University of China, arrived at the final. 10 competitors brought us a terrific show that night. As a major event in CUC, the competition makes the students' lives colorful and meaningful.
The central government set up an investigation team to prop search engine giant Baidu of providing misleading medical treatment information. Baidu has been under mounting public pressure since a couple said online that their 21-year-old son died of cancer after receiving immunotherapy at a hospital in Beijing.
Nanluo Busan was packed with visitors during the May Day holiday despite a recent ban on tour groups in the area. On Saturday, more than 70,000 visitors flocked to alley that has a narrower and symmetrical alleys on either side, while more than 90,000 visited on Sunday, similar figures to the same period last year.
U.S. Congress passed a law in 2011 that prohibits NASA from hosting Chinese visitors at its facilities and working with researchers affiliated to any Chinese government entity or enterprise. China said it's open to space cooperation with all nations, including the United States, since cooperation between major space players will be conducive to the development of all mankind.
61 suspects due to trial in Beijing on April 28, the sixth day in what the number one intermediate People's Court said was the largest ever case of contract fraud since the founding of the People's Republic of China in 1949. The 61 suspects were alleged to have worked for a private internet service provider named Zhongwang Huyin. Zhongwang Huyin Internet Corporate, they siphoned off more than 80 million yuan from 259 people between 2013 and 2014. So, nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sports news. Mark Selby defeated China's Ding Junhui 18-14 in the final of the Snooker World Championship on May 3rd. Ding, the first Asian player to reach the final, made a late surge from 16-11 down to 16-14
Fast Shelby, the 2014 champion, won the 10th 31st frame before a sealing victory in the match. Shelby joined Steve Davis, Stephen Hendry, Mark Williams, John Higgins, and Ronnie O'Sullivan as the only players to lead the trophy more than once at the Crucible. The 32-year-old Shelby collected a record check £330,000 by winning his 7th ranking title. It's a great feeling, said Shelby. To win it once was a huge achievement and something I'd ever wanted to do. But I never dreamed of winning twice. I'm quite emotional. Women's World Number 1 Liu Shiwen claimed her 4th Asian Cup title when he outclassed teammate Li Xiaoxia 4-2-1 in the 2016 Next Year Table Tennis Asian Cup final here on April the 13th. The victory came from my strong ambition that I want to win, said Liu, who had previously won the continental event in 2010, 2012, and 2013. China's ambassadors to the United Arab Emirates, Changhua, presented the medals for Liu and Li at the awarding ceremony in the Xiaobao Hall of Dubai World Trade Center, where hundreds of Chinese fans chanted China, China all the time. On May 2nd, South Area's Park Tae-hwan got down on his knees and begged for the chance to compete at the Riot Games on Monday as the Korean Olympic Committee shows no signs of lifting the additional doping sanctions it has imposed on a swimmer. Park was banned for 18 months by governing body FINA after testing positive for testosterone ahead of the 2014 Asian Games. And while the ban expired in March, he must now wait 3 more years before he can be considered for selection under KOC rules. Before he can be considered for selection on the KOC rules. Leicester City's Premier League title dream became reality on May 2nd as their only remaining challengers, Tottenham Hotspur 2-2 at Chelsea, to complete one of the greatest ever sporting achievements. The result provoked an outpouring of celebration in the provincial English city and as far away as Thailand and Japan, with Leicester's player having watched nervously on television along with Foxy's fans packed into local cars. On television along with Foxy's fans packed into local bars, 160 kilometers away, goals from Tottenham's Harry Kane and Son Heung-min had looked like extending the title race of a race to the penultimate week of what has been an unforgettable season. More than 60% of the tickets for the 2016 Royal Olympic Games have been sold, 100 days ahead of the Games. The Royal Organizing Committee will issue a new batch of tickets for volleyball events starting from April 28. The ticket prices will range from $13 to $317. Brazil's Sports Minister Ricardo Lacer says ticket sales will continue to rise. We believe that people will buy more and more tickets as the Olympic Games is around the corner. This is also a culture of Brazil that the Brazilian always purchase their tickets at last minute. As the event approaches, and especially after the arrival of Olympic flame on May 3rd in the capital city, Brasilia, and people become more familiar with the events, we believe that we will be able to sell out all the tickets. The world's best shuttlers from 28 countries, including China, Indonesia, India, Denmark, and Malaysia, will join current world number one Chen Long at the Australian Badminton Open in June. As they make final preparations before the Rio Olympics. China's Shen Long is facing stiff competition as current world number 3 Lin Dan says to make amends for his strong early exit at the 2015 tournament while runner-up, giant slayer, and European champion Victor Axelsen is looking to go one place better. The entire draw will feature all the stars of the current top 10 of badminton, including world number 1 women's doubles pairing Misaki Matsuyama and Takahashi, reigning women's singles Olympic champion. That's all for sports. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight. Recently, a movie about a fraud is on the show. It's called Thank You for Calling,
a movie based on the exploits of the French-Israeli Gilbert Chickley, who engineered drug payments by phoning companies and pretending to be the firm's CEO or a French intelligence agent. The man who nearly stole over 70 million euros from France's business and banking elite is a serial manipulator who sees fraud not as a crime but as a way of life. According to those behind the new film based on the con artist's exploits, how will people deceived by him feel when watching the movie? Liz Clark, who used to be a waitress in a cocktail bar, is now traveling around the world on a sailboat along with her feline first mate, her cat. She found her cat Amelia when she was only 6 months old and adopted her. Now Clark and Amelia live on a boat named Swell, which is 11 feet wide and 14 feet long. Clark has now traveled along the western coast of Mexico and Central America, as well as to the South Pacific. Clark said, along for the long ocean journeys, Amelia especially enjoys fishing from the boat. Of course, it's the happiest thing for a cat to live on a boat. Fishes are available all the time. Pizza is the best, but what is even better? Pizza in a pizza box made of pizza. Get confused? You may get a little confused, so let me explain. Behold, the pizza in a pizza box made of pizza is directed by Vinny's Pizzeria in Brooklyn. It feels great to unbox this special pizza. And the top box layer is garlic bread and it's very delicious. They have a lot of flavors for the actual pizza inside. And the bottom of the box is Sicilian pizza. So in conclusion, pizza box made out of pizza is great and the best. Do you think owls can act like human? There's a family in Johannesburg finally convinces owl that he's not a person. The woman who found an orphaned baby owl and thought he would make an ideal pet, and the spotted eagle owl named Fluffy, was not scared of humans at all. He actually wanted to be with you. The owner was worried that Fluffy had imprinted. I mean, he thought he was a human. A known problem with owls that can make it difficult for them to transition back to the wild. He loved to watch TV, and then he gets bored of that and see what the wife's cooking or troll the dog. Hey, dude, don't forget you are an owl, okay? And do you believe technology can change the world? Sometimes we have to admit. Two students in University of Washington, Thomas Pryor and Navid Adolder, invented these gloves, which can translate American Sign Language into speech in real time. When a person wears the gloves, sensors in the hand measure their movements and send them via Bluetooth to a computer program that Thomas wrote. The computer program will then translate them into speech. People with vision problems can appreciate them to death. While zombies thankfully still remain a figment of our imagination, smobbies, which means people walking while staring at their smartphones, are very real and a growing cause of concern. Fed up of having to constantly alert both locals and tourists to pay more attention to their surroundings to avoid serious accidents, authorities in a small German town have come up with a more proactive solution, embedding traffic lights in the pavement to make them visible to people constantly looking down at their phones. That's really a sweet idea. But what if someone keeps standing on it? But I think it actually makes the smobby problem worse. Are you a cat lover? Japanese online retailer Felismo specializes in all things feline, but they really seem to be in love with cat odor so much so that they are releasing their second cat-scented product this year. First, they came out with a cat paw-scented cream earlier this year, and now they are introducing a special fabric spray that carries the smell of cat's foreheads. I just wonder how the cats feel when encountering smell like this. An Australian takeaway place is trying to win a Guinness World Record by having their mascot, Betty, become the first chicken ever to send a readable tweet. The marketing campaign is a lot like shooting in the dark, and they're letting Betty pack away randomly at the keyboard, hoping that she will accidentally tweet something meaningful by the end of October. It looks like Betty is nowhere close to producing a meaningful English word. All her tweets through the handle @chickentreat are just gibberish. But since it is just a chicken, be patient, please.
On April the 12th, a boy named Wei Zexi died of a real disease, suffering from the fake advertisement provided by Baidu. This issue has caused wide attention. Our commentator, Jing Yi and Jin Niu, will comment on this issue.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's commentary. I'm Wang Jingyi.
And I'm Zhang Jinniu.
This time's commentary is about tragedy. On April 12th, a 21-year-old student was died of tumors. His name is Wei Zexi. Wei Zexi was a college student majoring in computer in Xi'an Electronic Technology University. After knowing his disease, his parents tried their best to look for ways curing the rare disease. They searched on the internet and chose a hospital which seemed good. However, Wei Zexi took a turn for the worse after receiving the treatment given by the hospital. Before long, he left the world forever.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Sadly, Zexi's life is not only beclaimed by the disease, but also by humans greedy for money.
I agree with you. No wonder the hospital should be accused of their behavior. The hospital projected itself as one of the best hospitals in China, mastering the best medical technique. They even said to its patients that the technique is from Stanford University. In fact, the technique has been eliminated for its poor security in America. They cheated patients suffering from severe disease like Wei Zexi just for money. I can't imagine feeling of Zexi's parents after they knew that they were cheated.
Nowadays, more and more people are addicted to money. And what's more serious is the miscount of local officials. Why such a hospital can be admitted by officials? Why didn't it be punished by laws for its fake earlier? Maybe we can't eliminate the greed in humans' hearts, but we can control it by laws. However, what if the laws can be conducted properly?
Yes, you are right. But even lawmakers are facing new problems too. Many people, including Wei Zexi and his parents, are used to searching for information on the internet through Baidu, a famous search engine. However, Baidu is not always giving an objective searching results.
Yeah, if you search for something, especially something related to business, through Baidu, maybe the interests displayed firstly are not the best ones, but the most expensive ones. More you take, higher you rank. But Baidu never says that it is advertising for the ones, they just say that they are providing search service. In the forum on net information, Xi Jinping stressed that in the rank of web searching, we should not see money as the only standard.
I know that there is still debate if the behavior should be charged according to the laws of advertising. The relationship between advertisements and bidding for the rank needed to be cleared. Google has experienced the same situation like Baidu and was fined $500 billion for putting the ads selling fake drug. After that, it designed automatic advertising filtering mechanism and marked the content of ads using yellow background. What's more, it separates searching and advertising, which avoid vicious events effectively.
Yes, I think Baidu could learn a lot from that. It should not live in and working on the margins of the law. It needed to take on more social responsibility. After all, the internet should not be bigger than the net of justice. And there are special regulations on medical advertisement, for they are connected with the health of people. And advertisements relating to medical instruments, medicine, and medical treatment are ought to be censored carefully.
That's the point. And Wei Zexi was sharing his experience with others on the internet until he left. After he died, his father left a message on the internet using his son's ID, telling the people concerning about his son that has left, and blessed everyone can be healthy and happy forever.
That sounds so sad. With sorrow at Zexi's death, we are supposed to find ways to avoid similar tragedies. This is not just an individual case, it represents publicity. Maybe somebody says Zexi is declared to be terminal ill and his death is inevitable. But that doesn't mean hospital can treat the patients. Zexi has gone. However, a lot of people like him are facing healthcare fraud. Punishing the perpetrators and raising legal risks are the biggest value of this event.
And that's all for today's commentary. I'm Wang Jingyi. See you next week.
Hope you like that. See you.
Thank you, Jingyi and Jinniu. We will offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
Summer is coming. Watch out for the raining days. are the selecting news brought to you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focuses on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Liu Shijin. See you.
And I'm Yang Shang. See you.
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。